So Hare Krishna, don't worry. It looks tremendous and very stirriness. It's not. My dear devotees, I think as devotees we are all, let me say, extremely concerned with one question. How can I get it? How can I get the wonderful mercy of Krishna? Kavikanapur makes a distinction between two types of bhakti. Bhakti with nectar and bhakti without nectar. We all know what it means. Bhakti without nectar. Bhakti with nectar means bhakti with genuine feelings of the bhakti bhava. Now we all, I think, can understand if our hearts could only be filled with these loving emotional feelings for Krishna, we wouldn't need anything else than just that. Because the nourishment for the soul is not food, the nourishment for the soul is love, love of God. If our souls are nourished, I think we can all think that and feel that our lives is nourished.
I'm sorry, Bhujan Prabhu is just asking if it's okay if he's coming around 11 o'clock. He said from his side, there is like 2 hours of things he would like to speak. He's just asking if it's okay for you like this.
It is wonderful, and he should please come not with such a full stomach that he can't take a lunch. Yes. Good. So, this question, how can we get these genuine feelings of love for Krishna, is a question which is a question which, for our spiritual survival, I would even say. Now in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it says that this Bhakti Bhava is very rare for two reasons. One reason is that it cannot be so easily had even if you do many, many mechanically performed sadhanas to get it. In other words, sadhanas without this bhava, this bhakti bhava, cannot give you bhakti bhava. There is not a process to obtain it like, you know. The second is the reason why bhakti bhava is so difficult to obtain. And I'm speaking now even of bhakti bhava, feelings of bhakti. I don't necessarily speak here of the highest level of bhava, is because Krishna is not always eager to give it to everyone. Hare Krishna. However, Rupa Goswami makes it very clear that these feelings for Krishna arise in any and everyone who comes to the land of Mathura. Those of you who have made a study of nectar of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu or nectar of devotion, remember this shloka where he said that even someone who comes to Mathura with not really specifically the idea to develop Krishna consciousness, because of the potency of Mathura Vasa, even if you stay only for few nights, huh? Because of the potency of Mathura Vasa, you can get bhava directed towards Syama Sunda. This bhava directed towards Syama Sunda, is what Jiva Goswami added in his commentary. You must know that Rupa Goswami wrote the Nectar of Devotion, or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, and then the work came to Jiva Goswami, who explained something further on the behest or on the request of Rupa Goswami. And Prabhupada, in his translation, in the Nectar of Devotion, he speaks even of a materialist who comes to the wonderful land of Mathura, Vrindavan, and stays on the bank of the Jamuna and is immediately attracted to bhakti. Hare Krishna. Now, in Vrindavan, there are a few personalities and agents who are very much responsible for this delivery of bhakti. I would like to name them, of course, Radha and Krishna are there, but also, and even more willing than Radha and Krishna to deliver this bhakti bhava, is the river Jamuna, the trees of Vrindavan, who are Kalpa Briksha trees, wish-fulfilling trees. It is the Purnamasi. It is Gopeshwara, whom all the devotees have visited since time immemorial for the fulfillment of their spiritual desires and material, and many also for their material desires. It is Giriraj Govardhan, and it is the dust of Vrindavan. Let us just focus a little on Giriraj Govardhan first, and just with the Brijbasis know that Giriraj Govardhan is a wish fulfiller, and therefore they do every Ekadasi and Purnima Govardhan Parikrama. They say, if you do Govardhan Parikrama, Giriraj follows behind you, walks behind you, and he hears your desires. If it's material desire, he will just say, "Tatastu, yes, take it." You can hear. Ladies, especially who do to some biological situation, have not been able to conceive a child so far, know this. You feel many ladies traveling around, and you, if you know the way they dress in their zari, can tell you if they have a child or not. No need to know. Giriraj immediately says, I give it. But if there is a devotee who goes around Giriraj and says, I want pure love of God, Giriraj doesn't give it. Immediately. Oh. But he's very moved. The other person, he gives, yes, take your material boon, and he goes somewhere else. But behind the devotee, he goes behind the devotee. Is he really desiring this, or is something else coming? Oh yes, then the devotee would say, I would also love if I go to the West, maybe to eat a little chocolate for energizing purposes, of course. Okay. He waits. Because remember, bhakti sudurabha is rare. This bhakti feeling is rare. It's not so easy to just make one circumambulation of Giriraj. Then that would be the sadhana to immediately get prema bhakti. It's not that easy. So he waits for the next year. Is he still saying that, or is he in the next year wanting to have a moped in Braj because it goes much motor? No, today I'm not my pretender, it's not about your mofa. That's a spiritual mofa. But today when I was staying out, and the monkeys had destroyed my perfect hero bicycle, I mean my the seat of it, then one Baba said, Motorola. better. I'm trying to be simple. In the West we have a Sharanagati car. This is already too very fancy. No, I want something else. I was sitting in some sacred valley of Giri Raj, and I was chanting, so the Baba said, Motorola, Motorola. So Giri Raj has heard my prayer, maybe after 1 year, so I will not get the love of Godhead, but then maybe after 1 year he wants to hear. Maybe after 1 year I say Motorola. And then I don't get it. So this is what the Vrishvasi says. He tests you. Are you serious? Do you want this? If you want this, then he gives. After some time, after checking. This is what good devotees in Vrindavan have experienced. I'm just repeating. Now today I would love to speak about the red bag you don't even need. You can put it on the sofa. The dust of Vrindavan, and asked the question, what is so special about the dust of Vrindavan that it can give Bhakti Bhava in our heart in Bhakti. What makes it so special? I talked about this a little bit in one moment. I have to fix my dressing situation here. I talked a little bit in Zagreb about it, and today, because it's Vrindavan, and Vrindavan, we want to talk about Vrindavan-related subjects. I would like to tell you a little bit about it, and why the dust of Vrindavan is so absolutely special. I will read to you from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary to the Bhagavatam, and also read from the Bhagavatam. It's the 10th canto, 31st chapter, text number 16 and 17. There it says, Nija padabja dalai dvaja vaja nirayankusha vichitra lalamai vratja bhuva Shamayam kurutodam vashmadu yagatirita vinu prajati tena vayam savilasa vikshanarpita manobhava vega gujagatim gamita navidama Kashmalena kavaram vasanam va. As Krishna wanders throughout Braj with his lotus petal-like feet, he marks the ground with the distinctive emblems of flag, thunderbolt, lotus, and elephant goat. In this way, he relieves the distress the ground feels from the cow's hooves. You must be knowing this is very distressful for Mother Bhumi to have 900,000 and more cows moving with their sharp hooves over the earth and pulling it open. So the earth feels distress, but for a short time, then the balsam comes of Krishna's lotus feet. Sometimes he skips. Skips means Padma could do it. He dances, and then the ground feels. And it's relieved. As Lord Krishna plays his renowned flute, his body moves with the grace of an elephant. Thus we gopis This is a Yuga Gita sung by the gopis. Thus we gopis, who become agitated by Cupid, when Krishna playfully glances at us, stand as still as trees, unaware that our hair and garments are slackening. So the earth feels relief, whereas the gopis feel an opposite effect. They can't move any longer. They become like the earth. Only their garments apparently start to move and lose their tight binding, and so on. This is the effect of Lord Krishna's flute playing. So the dust, in other words, is imprinted by the lotus stopala, as we say in Serbia, by the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, who marks the dust and leaves his wonderful signs in the dust. Could we all try to find some of Lord Krishna's signs on the dust of Braj? Who knows?
Concha.
An elephant goat. When you have difficulties to control your mind in Vrindavan, the best is to put your head in the dust and bathe it there, because it's said that the elephant goat of Lord Krishna is controlling the mind of the devotees. Radha Sundari, you might like to do what I did, make a plate of Brajaraj in Zurich, and whenever it starts to go wild up there, you just go with your head in the Brajaraj, and then it works. You know, the sign of the elephant goat is there, and it pulls it in the right direction. Please try it. It is extremely psychologically effective. I have in Karuna Bhavan a bowl of dust, and I intend to put that everywhere, you know, and then just grow. And then everything is alright. It works, because in the dust, that elephant goat, which is used to control the powerful Hathi, the powerful elephant, that is in the dust of Braj. That's why many devotees put the dust always on their head, because they do know the effect of this this sign of Lord Krishna. I thought if Sigmund Freud was still alive, I would make a point to visit him and bring him dust. Unfortunately, I read all his works when I was young, and I still want to take revenge one day. I'm joking. Elephant, goat, what else? Fish. Said, just like the fish can only live in water, in the same way, the fish-like mind of the devotee can only live in the liquid of Krishna prema, of love for Krishna. Then, flag, chakra, thunderbolt, jambu fruit, swastika, lotus, hoof print, an upmoving line, umbrella, four pots, octagon, valicon, then
sky.
Yeah, inside. Sky sign. Two circles inside, yeah. Each other, sign for the sky. she already knows, because she prepared a wonderful footprints of Lord Krishna once. Yeah. Many signs. So this is all in the imprinted in the earth of Vrindavan, and all these effects have a special all these signs have a special effect on the life of the devotees. You mentioned the thunderbolt that crashes the mountains of sinful reactions which is still to come in the heart of the devotees. So the dust of Vrindavan, this is my point, has the footprint of Lord Krishna. And the proof of this is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto, chapter 46, verse 22. There, in this chapter, you have Uddhava visiting Vrindavan after Lord Krishna has left Vrindavan with a message of consolation from Lord Krishna, who is now staying in Mathura. And he goes to the parents of Nanda, of Krishna, Nanda and Yashoda, in order to deliver this a message from Lord Krishna. He has a message for all the different devotees in the different rasas, but he first goes to the parents. When he enters the house, he sees that the kitchen was not used for many months, because Nanda and Yashoda have not eaten since Kanhaiya Lal, their Kanhaiya, has left Vrindavan. Only because one Brahmana nearby knew that Uddhava would come, did Uddhava get something to eat, because that Brahmana cooked, knowing well that Nanda Baba and Yashoda were unable. So he sees the parents of Lord Krishna staying in the palace in an extremely lamentable situation. They can't do anything out of separation for Krishna. And Uddhava, in order to relieve them, suggests, why don't you sometimes leave the house and walk in the fresh surroundings? Isn't it? When someone is a little morose, or morose, it's not morose, sad or desperate, you will tell him, move on the fresh air, you know, see some new things, that so that you think something different. If you always stay in the house where you have been with Krishna, you will just continue to only lament and cry. And then Nanda Maharaj says that he wouldn't get any solace because if he moves outside of the house, he would see everywhere the footprints of Lord Krishna, who walked over Vrindavan, and in this way be reminded all the time. When we see the places, says Nanda Maharaj, where Mukunda enjoyed his sportive pastimes, the rivers, the hills, the forest, which he decorated with his feet. It's said here, he decorated this Mukunda Pata Bhushitan. Bhushitan means ornaments, so it's a verb. Krishna placed his feet like the ornaments all over Vrindavan. And we would only remember him. You might say, no, not possible. After some time, the wind has destroyed the hoof prints, or cows have walked over it, or The monkeys who even destroy bicycles, they would have no problem to run over the footprints and make their monkey activities. No! Wrong! You are wrong! You are wrong. Sanatana Goswami describes that there is an agreement amongst all the creatures in Vrindavan, that agreement is that they will not destroy or wipe away the footprints of Krishna. They honor them so much that they don't walk or wipe away. It's almost like when you maybe have the hand, imagine Srila Prabhupada would have written on a chalk of, on a piece of, how do you say it?
Whiteboard,
some Bhagavatam verse maybe or something. We would put it in a Prabhupada museum. We wouldn't wipe it out, you know. So in the same way, the Brijvasis of all descriptions don't wipe out what has been said. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, if this is the case, says Uddhava, that you always lament. I can understand that by staying in the house you are remembering Krishna too much. Therefore, to give up dwelling on him and thinking of Krishna only, you should go outside, wander along the shore of the Yamuna, tending your cows, and, you know, get a fresh breeze, you know. No, says Nanda Maharaj, it's not possible. So that wonderful footprints of Lord Krishna are all over the ground of Braj, and that's why the dust is so extremely powerful to deliver love of Godhead to a mind, into the mind of a devotee. I thought this would be nice. I've written more verses, the Venu Gita and everywhere, but I think I would like to talk on something else now. Now you will have to concentrate a little, because it will become very important for your life. From this part of the lecture, you can remember only the dust of Vrindavan is important. It gives love of Krishna. That's why devotees who are able to do this walk barefoot without shoes. They wish the dust, they respect the dust too much, they say in India, or very much, and this gives a very good effect for bhakti. If you are not able to do this, I do know that Srila Prabhupada, who was also not accustomed to walking barefoot, used shoes, and then be in a respectful mode and decorate your forehead with the dust and everything as much as possible. Obviously, when we talk about the land of Vrindavan giving bhakti bhava in our heart, or rising our inherent feelings of Krishna consciousness within us, we have to talk on the concept of mercy. Now, there are different types of mercy, and this today I was thinking a little bit on the subject matter of mercy as I was chanting and praying to Krishna. I was just thinking very much on the mercy, and I thought of different points how you can obtain mercy. Mm. mercies. Oh yeah. In especially Rupa Goswami's writings and everywhere strewn over our scriptures, there are different words for mercy. I hope you forgive me my example, but Eskimos who absolutely need to know the different types of snow, and you know, when you can walk over it, or when you can easily cook it in a pan and make good water from it, or you know, there are different types of snow because their existence is dependent on their knowledge of snow. Sometimes the way snow is tells them when the spring comes, what wind to expect, and so on. And they have about, I heard once, 60 different names for snow. They can differentiate. So a devotee also who's absolutely dependent on Krishna's mercy or Radha's mercy needs to know the different shades of mercy. Now, I would love to start with the type of mercy which is most dear to me. It's kripa. Kripa is mercy which is given to a person who absolutely does not deserve that mercy. He is or she is the most despicable and wretched sinner. Wretched means very poor. Very, very poor. Very fallen. Very unqualified. Very much a sinner. So such a person who feels himself like this will ask for a mercy which is absolutely not dependent on any type of qualification. You will see the Bengali Vaishnavas always say, Prabhu, Kripa Karo, Kripa Karo, do mercy to me, you know, Kripa. Because this is one specific type of mercy, the mercy to the extremely fallen, crying soul, which is actually very fallen and which is extremely, extremely in need. Here, in the many Vaishnavas' favorite prayer to Radharani, it's called the Sri Pratana Padati, where Rupa Goswami teaches the padati, that is the process of praying. Rupa Goswami describes his situation. He says, O Queen of Vrindavan, I bow down and I roll about on the Yamuna shore. My heart is agitated, and with a choked voice I appeal to you. You know, the devotee feels he is so unqualified that he just rolls around and really, he says, even though I have committed thousands of offenses, even though I'm unqualified, and even though my intelligence is crooked, Rupa Goswami describes a crooked intelligence. You are fallen, but you think you are very, very high class Vaishnava. This is a crooked intelligence. That will come in the Kapanya Panjika Stotra. Please give this person a small particle of your devotional service. And then he says, why Radharani should do this? Usually you expect, well, if someone feels himself so unqualified, he should not ask for that what not even the great Mahatmas get. But he should not ask for direct service, in other words. But no, he makes a logical point. He says, it's not because I am qualified that I think I should ask for your mercy. No, it's because you have a heart which is like fresh butter, and it is melting when you see someone so totally unqualified. That's why you should give me mercy. And the word he uses for mercy is kripa. It is given here, the word kripa. Yukta, engaged. Jana, tvaya, by you. Jana, a person. Na, not indeed. Dukita, I'm unhappy. I am upekshitam, don't ignore me. Kripa, give mercy to this fallen person. This is the first type of mercy which is there in the mercy department of Radha and Krishna. Don't we have this when we see just a very, very, very fallen, very foreign person who is just suffering so much? Then we feel mercy. We were on an island, and we had one dog who was guarding the place where we were staying. His name was Attila, like the powerful warrior. He was only this long and this high. And Attila was a rebel. He wanted to show the government of Loshin that they had sold themselves out to tourism. And therefore he always went into the park and destroyed the flower beds which the government kept to give some attraction to the German tourists. And I think that's why Attila went into this flower garden and he destroyed it. And there was someone who made a photo of poor Attila, who was a misunderstood philosopher, you know, and he was photographed, and they had to, his owner had to pay a huge fine for this. And Attila then was restricted. He was kept on a line. Now here is a freedom loving Attila, and he was kept on a line, and that line was restricting his movements. Now that wouldn't be so bad, but then the Bura came. Bura means an ice cold storm. It is for 3 days, and Attila was shaking. And we would always go by every day on walk, and we would come back, and Attila would come before his cave, look at me, and just cry. And I always felt somewhere in my heart, he's a poor dog, you know. He has done something wrong, but he should not be sitting in the cold now for 3 days, and little food, you know. And I almost wanted to bind him loose every time. Radha Kripa also knows this poor misery of the dog. You feel that someone is just so miserable. You just feel some type of mercy. Even humans feel that. So what to speak of God? You know, he feels that creeper to the fallen who turned to him in a humble state of mind without a crooked intelligence, thinking, well, I'm so very, very advanced, very, very, very good. That is not good. I'm following Krishna consciousness since more than 20 years. I'm very, very advanced. So that kripa is there. Now the next form of mercy is prasad. Prasad is something which is often used when there is some reason to give mercy. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the word prasad is used in relationship to Maharaj Prataparudra, who was wanting the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but unfortunately he was a king, and Mahaprabhu's regulation as a sannyasi was to avoid a king. So Prataparudra was thinking, if my being a king stops Mahaprabhu from giving me his mercy, I will renounce this kingdom and become a beggar. So on Ratha Yatra day, he did this. He swept the road, which only beggars, you know, very poor people, bangis they are called, do. And and Mahaprabhu noticed this, it is said, and then gave him the mercy. Prasad is something which reasonable thought is there. Or when you come to any temple, you will get Krishna's prasad in the form of something to eat. Because you don't need, when you have come into the temple, now prasad is not withheld from you. That is a... That is, I don't, some scholars say prasad means deserved mercy, but a devotee does not, I mean, devotees don't feel like that. Then there is another type of mercy which means karuna. It is all right. Please be peaceful, I'm extremely comfortable. Karuna means mercy because, again, of the giver of mercy. He is very, very, very much in that merciful mood. Raghunath Goswami describes Radharani as Karuna Vitravat Deha. She has a transcendental body which melts with Karuna. Karuna would be translated as compassion. And Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur says about Radharani, Karunatra Kataksha. Her glance is melting with compassion. It's again a quality which Srimati Radharani is extremely famous for, and therefore one of her name is, you must know, Karunamayi. So much full of Karuna. Her body is melting with compassion. I mean, a form made of compassion. Very, very good. This type of mercy, Karuna. When I had to choose a name for the house where I was once staying, I thought Karuna Bhavan is the best name, you know, because this is some. There are deities upstairs, and I thought, well, then if it's a liquid, the Karuna, the mercy is liquid, it might just flow over the floor of the temple, then go down the stairs, and then come from the back. And this brings us to a next form of mercy. The next form of mercy I would like to describe is anugraha. Graha means to grab. If I would grab someone, that is a mercy which is grabbing you. The stars are called grahas. They grab you with your influence. I'm, for instance, now under my Saturn my Saturn period, and it ends in 1 year, I hear. And Saturn is a graha, one of the Navagrahas, the nine planets, and he grabs you just. Have a little protection against him. I put it down, and it's a little iron ring from the horse. You know, that is a protection against it. I must say, I hope I'm not disrespectful. I believe more in the anugraha of the mercy of Radha and Krishna than the iron ring. But devotees said, "Didn't you see how Saturn grabbed you? You had a harmless operation, and then he just came over you and almost killed you." So this is called. So the mercy is which we are now discussing. The anugraha is a mercy that Krishna just grabs you and pulls you out into a situation. That is some type of mercy which is also extremely useful. for Krishna consciousness. Then there is the mercy called Anukampa. I have not really done so much a study at this moment. I don't know what Anukampa is. So creep of mercy for the wretched, prasad mercy which might be expected, karuna, compassion, and anugraha, just mercy which grabs you. It is said that Nityananda was distributing this type of mercy, where he would even give it to the drunkards and they would be turning into chanters, and they would be just grabbed and pulled out of their situation. Now this afternoon I was intrigued to read a little I read many things, but one was the Uddhava Gita. And there Uddhava asks about the qualities of the devotees who please Krishna. It's amazing that Krishna in his answer says, the first quality of a devotee is kripalu. He must have kripa. A devotee, and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, a devotee cannot tolerate seeing the world merged in ignorance. This is what kripalu means. Huh? And suffering the whiplashes of maya. Do you know whiplashes? I know in the old Roman galere, how do we say galere? Where they kept slaves. Galere, yes. How would we say in English language? Galley. Is it a ship?
Yeah.
Yeah, the galleys. Huh? There, if they wouldn't go fast enough, there would be one person and whip them. It's a preferred theme in movies, you know, because it's so cruel, and you know, they're sweating and the poor. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, uses this analogy that the living entities are suffering the whiplashes of Maya, who drives them on. So a devotee cannot tolerate it. He feels genuine pain. Therefore, he busily engages in distributing Krishna consciousness and is called kripalu or merciful. When I read this, I was thinking of Srila Prabhupada, who was he was sometimes crying because of seeing the fallen people. I remember when he was driving through downtown Sydney, there is a place called King's Cross, and people go there for drinking and all kinds of illicit enjoyment. Prabhupada was driving through it after a program which he gave nearby, and he cried. I have heard Prabhupada wrote about this quality in regards to his spiritual master. He said, "You are always worrying about the fallen state of the conditioned souls. The devotees who are Kripalu, they walk all over. If you would see, you know, in Bengal, the devotees, the preachers move with boats through mosquito-infested canals to reach people. I know in the Madhva Sampradaya, the devotees would, the sannyasis would travel, and many graves of the sannyasis have two tigers jumping like this, because while they walk through the jungle to go to preaching, and maybe also pilgrimage, but they were also preaching the Madhvas, they were attacked by tigers and killed by tigers. It was difficult to travel always for devotees, and it is still difficult to travel and preach for devotees. However, a devotee's quality which pleases Krishna apparently is Kripalu. He cannot tolerate seeing the world merged in ignorance. I must say, I'm still hoping that this becomes manifested in my heart. I acknowledge it's a very, very difficult quality to do, but it was interesting to me to see that Krishna mentions that he expects this type of devotee, Kripa, you know, to everyone. That is a mercy which does not distinguish. We were discussing about this during our Kartik Virata in our little, you know, where we stayed, that sometimes people get on our nerves and we don't, we withdraw from them. No, we were discussing this, and I think you all know this, right? This quality. But Krishna feels this, that this is indicative of a devotee. And I would suggest that as devotees, we try to somehow do this. One very nice way is in Braj, distribution of prasadam. I heard during Radharani's appearance day, there was ample prasad distribution in Vashana, and the devotees who went there participated in distributing prasadam. And there you see people you have never met who may even be crippled or not in good function with the mind, and you give prasadam to train a little bit your kripalu. I feel like this in terms of the monkeys. You know, today I was sitting somewhere, and then I had to answer nature's call, and I left my bag, and I felt, Sachidananda Swami, don't leave your bag. The monkey, I knew it, but I said, it's too much. I can't take my bag to answer the nature of call. I just trust in Yogiri Raj that afterwards my bag is there. And when I came back, I had not yet washed my hands. I saw three of the best of monkeys with my red bag, and my one looked at the beads, you know. And you, now it's this means trouble, you know. This means really trouble. If you agitate them, then they will just destroy you. They destroy your things and they run away. I wanted to give bananas. I had no bananas. I came from a dirty place. You know what I did? Because I had just thought before about the different types of mercy. I turned to Giriraj. I said, like the bridge passes to Prabhu, Kripa Koro, it's your monkeys. You know, please. And my beads, you know, these are beads which... wait a minute. No. These are beads from the from the tree of Haridas Thakur, the Siddha Bakula tree, in which was destroyed by a storm. I mean, one branch. I was highly attached to these beads. I was immediately, I was just Kripakulam. Then the monkeys looked in my direction and they did something so monkey untypical. They just looked at me, seeing me just absolutely desperate. And in a very polite way, I thought they gave me a North German knot of the head. Maybe I was an illusion, but that's how I saw it. Acknowledged me, a poor bhakta who was, and left everything in the bag, which they never do the way it is. It was finally ordered, it was all there, it was a little outside of the bag for inspection. But they were like good airport controllers, you know. But still, I remember that. And when someone gave me Maruka, I mean, they always want to give you Prasharam and Braj when they see you chanting. Then I said, keep it in your kutia. I will come when I've chanted and I will pick it. And then I was transporting it, and I was so frightened. I gave it to some devotees to bring it, because I was afraid when you have prashad in the bag, you know. I don't know if they would have given me a North German knot, you know. But anyways, so Kripalu, even to a monkey we should be. I mean, I was inspired to try to wish them well, and then when they had destroyed the back of the bicycle, you know, the sitting place of the bicycle, I just smiled at them and said, everything is all right. You are rich bussies. Actually, that's not Kripalu when you show Kripalu. Kripalu means you give it to an undeserved person. That's very, very good way of mercy giving. I once saw this with one beggar devotee who showed me the greatness. It was in my early days in Krishna consciousness. I was at the place where Daksha was where the Daksha Yagya was, and after we have visited the place, yes, the one who organized our tour said, if you give charities to the beggars here, there will be a huge spiritual reward. So I said, okay, how do we do this? Go there and buy some fruits, and then you distribute it to the beggars. So we went to the place where we could buy some fruits, and next to the place where we buy some fruit was one beggar, very poor beggar, and he motioned to us and said if we could bring him to the other beggars, which were 100 meters in another way. And we brought him to the beggar. Then, what did this beggar do? He took all the things he had collected and distributed it to the other beggars. Kripal, he knew, if we give mercy to others, even if they are undeserving, this is very, very good. Even if they're leprous, I mean, these beggars really look bad in this place. You should, you always go like, hopefully I don't touch it one and then get it also, and so on. It's really this. My dear devotees, try to do some of this quality. Give some mercy to the undeserving, either the preacher or somehow or other, or Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur always, you know, when he was walking and wandering around, he had Grihasthas with him, and he would pass the beggars, but then he would turn to his Grihastha disciples, and he said, you please give them something. You are a grihastha. So this is a devotee. I would say it's very important to do something like this, because you can be self-centered when you do a lot of bhajan. My advancement, my this, my that. That is a problem which can happen. So kripalu is very important, this quality. It's very important. You can be self-centered in every situation. And towards the end, Lord Krishna again says a devotee should be karunika. He first says he must be maitra, a well-wishing friend to all, and then karunika, he must be most merciful. This is karunika. I think when we are in the land of mercy, where we hear of the dust giving us mercy, where we hear of the different shades of mercy, we should take to the godly business and also give mercy. I think that is very important to do in our Krishna consciousness. So, Hare Krishna, this is all I have prepared. I mean, I have prepared a lot. I hope you have now some questions. Tomorrow, I've written down some notes for... Tomorrow I want to talk about how Krishna didn't leave Vrindavan, but how he is always in Vrindavan. Made some notes and found some places. So tomorrow we also have something very nice. I want to announce it right now before, because maybe some of you have to go. Tomorrow we want to make a program in the midst of Vrindavan. This house is very, very, very nice. And our host, Sachi Devi, knowing us, thought to make it a little bit Braj-oriented, we will do some Braj art. That's why she put some some cow dung there. That is the reason, because, yes, it is very, very nice, but... when you see the simple Braj situation, you also like that. I want to say. And tomorrow we will bring you, by the special mercy of three devotees, to a very, very nice dwelling in Vrindavan, in the Govinda Kund. It's a beautiful ashram. I thought we should have the program at 4 o'clock already. Govinda Kund is not so very, Krishna. It's a little up. From here, you would walk in 20 minutes or half an hour? At least half an hour. We can all walk together, and it's a moonlit night. It is very good to go through the night when the moon is full moon. Have you seen? I mean, when you go out, it's full moon. So, 4 o'clock. We will not end so late, but we can all walk together with the kirtan here. Half an hour, kirtan. But the point is, the bridge basi will not understand what is happening, because we go in the opposite direction. Maybe we have to go, let's take the long way. But then it's really long. Full moon parikram. Oh yeah, why not? When is the last day of Kartik? My Amuchanda says today, and you say tomorrow. Do you have some?
Tomorrow is the burning moon.
Wow. No, honestly, would that be That's a possibility, isn't it? What you could do is, we do the parikrama, and for those of you for whom it's too long, you just go to your ashram and complete the rest of the parikrama the next day. The others just go. We should think about it. Padma's making plans.
She's saying that we're going on a parikram tomorrow morning, and so she wants to go with everyone here too. So she's saying, can we do parikram twice? Twice.
Maya Puchandra is extremely strong. Some discussion in the family must be done about this. Yes. So you just did a parikram today.
We are planning to go tomorrow.
I mean, to do it on the last.
This is last day full moon.
No, it's done on full moon. Really, it's a regulative principle.
She got us, so we are four of us already going.
I mean, I'm going. There is no question. You know, you can see if you wish to go or not. But I'm going. You know, even if in the last stretch I climb on Madhva Muni's shoulders. You know. I think you want to go, isn't it?
Yeah.
We had the plan. It's done. It's done. So we will have nice kirtan first. Good Krishna katha, that we feel some enthusiasm and motivation. And then we just go like a bullet. We won't stop anywhere. We will just concentrate, chant, and sometimes do kirtan. Radhe, Radhe, Radha Rani. You know, we need a few Madanga players, not the other. No, Kishori for the whole day. Maya Puchandra is maybe that. This is a family discussion which needs to be done. But Jayaku can play. I can play a little. I mean, with many strong Matajis. So yes. So let us see. Do we have any? It's not so late. We started early. Any questions, please? Maya Puchandra Babu.
Yeah, Narada Muni's seen several places. Giving mercy in the form of curses and benedictions. Do the devotees of our time right now, do they, if they say, so many times they say, you hear this, especially the Indian devotees, they'll come to the different sannyasis or people who they feel can give them a blessing. And they say, give me this blessing, give me that blessing. Do the devotees of nowadays have the potency to do that, like Narada Muni can?
Do the devotees of nowadays have the potency to give blessings the way Narada Muni could give?
Yes.
In Bhakti Vinod Thakur's Sikh, Chaitanya Shikshamrita, it is said that the devotees have one power, it's called Shakti Sanchar. Now, I have heard that for this type of blessing, devotees should be on the level of bhava. Shakti sansha is a type of blessing where someone is blessed with the high levels of Krishna consciousness, bhava bhaktis. According to strict philosophical terms, bhakti is something which is given by the blessings, and it must be given from by a devotee who is on a super high level. Jagadananda Pandit, knowing well about this point, has written that the sadhu per excellence in Kali Yuga is Gauranga Mahaprabhu. If you would not mind to get the Naam Rahasya, I would really like to make this point a little bit. I have been recently reading a lot in the Chaitanya Chandramrita, and I have heard many commentaries on Chaitanya, not many, but some commentaries. And there it is always very, very evident that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is still going on. Now, I would like to make this statement, which is especially discussed in the ever-blossoming Gaudiya world. I would like to give a praman for this, because it is just a very, very, very interesting. Jagannanda Pandit, this is from a new book which will come out very soon. This is the manuscript. Has left us with an excellent prescription for how to chant the holy name in a way that will quickly give Naam Prema, love for the holy name. Naam Prema is equivalent to love for Krishna. Here are Srila Jagadananda Pandit's powerful instructions from the 7th chapter of Prema Vivarta. Oh, this is such a powerful book, you can't imagine. This is the best. I mean, it's not my book, therefore it's good. See, Krishna descends to this material universe in the form of Krishna Naam, simply out of compassion for the conditioned jivas. Bada jiva kripa kori, not karuna kriya kari, not prasada kriya, prasada kari, but kripa kori. Krishna hoila naam, kali jiva daya kori, Krishna hoila gaura dam. Moreover, not long ago, to display special mercy to the fallen jivas of Kali Yuga, Sri Krishna appeared as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Gauradham, Navadvip. Yeah. The sadhu pabe kashta bada jive rajaniya sadhu bhakta rupe Krishna aila nadiya. The omniscient Supreme Lord Sri Krishna knows how rarely the jiva may find actual satsanga. So he has come personally as a sadhu and a bhakta, a pure devotee to Nadia. Therefore, all who are endowed with superior intelligence, you're going to sleep now?
Yes.
Good. Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming. Hare Bol. Therefore, all who are endowed with superior intelligence must take shelter of the lotus feet of Sri Gauranga, because Sri Gauranga is the perfect sadhu and guru. For that special Shakti which you wish, Maya Puchanda, you must become a Gaura Bhakta. Because it is always said, without the mercy of sadhu and guru, you can't get it. It comes through the bhakta. And when I read this, I just knew this was right. I had heard from many great Vaishnavas that this statement is there, but we didn't have the Sanskrit, and I didn't believe just any translation. So it is there in this new book. Now, there any Vaishnavas can give blessings. I'm going now to other types of blessings. For instance, something which is very, very useful is, if you have, for instance, slightly hurt a devotee, if you your path will be impeded, then you can go to the devotee and say, "I'm sorry, please forgive me. My path doesn't continue. I just don't go on. I know I hurt you." And then the devotee can give that blessing of the forgiveness. And you will see your path opens again. Many devotees have seen this. I have seen that also. Other devotees can give you also other blessings. For instance, devotees can give you blessings to chant the holy name. If you really want that type of blessings, you can go to devotees. Generally, it is said a devotee can only give a blessing which he himself owns, something he owns. For instance, I have no attachment to the name. You can't ask me to chant the holy name, because I don't have nama. But there are devotees. But I might be able to bless you with faith in Srila Prabhupada, because I do have that. You know, I could tell you why I have this, and so on and so forth. It's very important in other words. Yes, devotees can give blessings. You can also give blessings, many blessings. Now, in the perfect question, perfect answer is a very important point which Prabhupada makes, which I feel has very much to do with my answer, that you can do what you can give blessings about what you are, what you have. And that is that he speaks about gurus taking sinful reactions like a fire who takes logs of burning wood, logs of wood, and burns them. But if the fire, he says, is not strong, it can become extinguished by so many logs of wood. So from this we deduce that a very powerful guru can have many disciples and take care of them and take their karmic reactions. We can deduce that. Now, after having said so much about the qualification of a person who gives blessings, I would love to say something else, something I'm deeply convinced of. I'm taking this from a purport of Srila Prabhupada, who says that the, that Madhyam Adhikaris can also give love for Krishna if they are properly situated. The way I understand this statement is that devotees who are properly situated in parampara can deliver the electricity not by means of their own qualification but by their being connected. This of course is a hotly argued point in the Gaudiya world. The way I think this is the reason why I think like this, why I'm convinced in fact like this, is because Mahaprabhu was on his journey through South India giving this bhakti shakti by embracing people. Now these people again embraced other people, farmers on the field, who got the stream of the mercy through this way. Now Prabhupada does write, people can't understand how this happened. No, that's in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's Krishna Das Kaviraj says people can't understand how this happened. And the way Prabhupada explains this in the purport is that this goes on today or still. That this is how the Krishna conscious movement is spreading. And I must tell you, as a preacher, I have seen that many, many devotees get by contact with other devotees who are convinced and enlivened, extraordinary spiritual faith in their heart, extraordinary ways of bhakti, which inspires them. I'm convinced that, in other words, the shakti of can go through even less qualified devotees by who are in terms of achievement less qualified. Because I'm convinced of this statement in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and because I have read in the Rupa Goswami's work, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that the qualification for bhakti is a different qualification than jnana and karma. You need to have shraddha. This shraddha, the amount of shraddha, describes your qualification. Now, I'm aware that this is a hotly discussed subject matter. I'm stating here my conviction, which keeps me as a preacher in my family business. I would not be convinced that people can become Krishna conscious. I would stop preaching, you know. But I really feel that to be a transparent medium on the basis of Shraddha only will work if you are a very, very, very free from crookedness, crooked intelligence, that you think you are very, very advanced, you're so many years, 30 years, you know, that and that you are a Gaura Bhakta. So, Hare Krishna. Thank you for your question. Any other questions? Please ask the most simple questions about Buddha. The dust or something. You don't have questions. I have notes for 50 lectures. Shalamsi means I'm joking. Oh, I almost said yes. The name which I really need to. I'm constantly biting my tongues here. Yes. Amira.
How can one respond to this kripa?
How can one respond to the kripa when one gets kripa? Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and I will start here, speaks about Guru Dakshin, that is how a disciple responds to the mercy he has received from his guru. And he says this Dakshin means to give not a monetary money thing, but it means to give what the spiritual master wishes to give to others, to give this as a disciple. This is how you respond to the to Guru Kripa. No? You give to others the sandesh of Krishna consciousness. Sandesh means instructions also. And you engage them in singing and chanting the holy name. That is what one of the gifts of our spiritual master, Mahaprabhu Kirtana, Mahaprabhu Kirtana Nitya Gita Varita Madhyam Manasura Sena, Mahaprabhu Kirtana. He likes kirtan and dancing. That is how the guru is described in the Guru Vashtakam prayers. And then so share these gifts with others. Let the whole world chant and dance in happiness. That is a way to respond to the kripa. There are other answers to your questions. Do you know, it is said to respond to kripa means to accept kripa. Now you might say, it's very simple to accept mercy. It's not so simple. Especially if it doesn't come the way we want it to come. But then it's not kripa, then it's our own mental speculation. When I was in the hospital, I was taught like this. See, in the hospital, I understand that what Shani gives to you, Saturn, I'm calling him Shani, that's the Brijbasi affectionate name. Huh? What Shani gives to you, I could understand this that I'm so bad now, so bad, destroyed in the health, that is Shani, that's Saturn. He wants to teach me a lesson. And I understand he is a servant of Krishna. There is in Brijbasi Krishna wishes, tells Mother Yashoda one day, let's go to Kukilvan. Shani is there. No, says Yashoda. It's known when Saturn throws a glance on you, you're finished. This was why Ravana was killed. He had put the 9 planets on his step to his throne. He had imprisoned them and somehow locked them on his step on his throne. Saturn is one of them. Then Narada Muni knew that Ravan was he had to be killed. It's the plan of Ram. So he came to Ravana and said, every day you walking on the 9 planets to show how you are the controller of the whole universe, but you walk on the back. Wouldn't it be nicer to walk on the faces? Yes, it's Saturn. This is much better. So he turned the planets around, including Saturn. When he came to Saturn's step, Saturn went And from that day on, it was sure he would be killed by an arrow. Hare Krishna. One of the many stories, you know. He was killed because Ram wanted to kill him. But this is just the way Ram worked also through Saturn, you know. Just one of the many stories. So, but I have, then when I was so in bad shape, I wanted to ask Krishna to take this pain away from me and this difficulty. But then I understood Krishna was the one who sent this as mercy. How should I now ask him to take what he has given away? And I said, can you give me a little strength to tolerate? Because I'm not a high class devotee, so. But I did not ask him to take this away. This little crooked intelligence I have, this little intelligence. And then I heard, mercy is. Stop playing God in your lives, my dear devotees. This is very important, where you control everything in your spiritual life. Just start to accept what Krishna gives. So difficult for devotees. So difficult. Krishna. This is the way, first way to respond. Like when all of a sudden, by the turn of events, all of a sudden something very dear or someone very dear is taken away from us. If it is like this, that is the mercy of Krishna. But we need to accept that. For some reason it's the mercy of Krishna. To accept Krishna's mercy is not... Krishna's mercy comes in many ways. You know, Prabhupada's shloka was, he based his life a lot on the mercy, on this thing. Yasyaham anugrinami harishyadatanam shai. Krishna takes away from those he loves so that they become more bound to him. Don't hold on to so many things in this. How do you say? Surrogate shelters. Surrogate, is that an English word? So, a replacement shelters, you know. Once there was a Hindu Brahmin priest. He had a heart condition. Heart condition means a weak heart. And anything which would upset him could disturb his heart so much that he get a heart failure. Now this Brahmin had two sons whom he loved like anything. He was married to a very good Vaishnavi lady, and one day he had to do some puja in another town, and he said, I come back in 3 days. Now during this time, his two sons went to a cliff to herd the cow, went in the mountains to herd a cow, came to a cliff, and both somehow fell down the cliff and died. That was all he had, two sons. He was poor, but he loved his two sons. So then he came back with that heart condition, his wife. Said, oh my God, now I've lost my two sons. If I tell him, I will lose my beloved husband as well. Then I'm all alone. What to do? Then she had an idea, but she didn't know if it would work. Because even when the sons, he was so attached to him that he wouldn't eat without the sons being present. He couldn't eat. He loved the sons. When they were not coming home in time, he was worried. He was weak heart. So he came home, happy after the puja. The wife greeted him affectionately, and he greeted her back. Where are our two sons? Today is a special day. They do some special activities at the moment. You please take your shower, and then I have cooked something for you. Okay, he's in the shower. While he was in the shower, he already... Are the two back already? From the shower he called, because he was so much in love with it. It's a very special day. I will tell you later. Please now first eat. So he ate and was very... I have a difficult problem, said the wife. See, one neighbor, the one person who is very dear to me gave me two jewels. But only for safekeeping. And I have to return them because he wants them. But I'm too attached. I cannot let go. Would you help me? Oh, I help you. I have some shlokas here from the Bhagavatam. You know, we should be in this. He went to the 11th canto. We should be like birds who go in a nest, and when the nest is destroyed, without detachment, they fly on for a new bird. And talked about detachment. And he said, my dear husband, he talked to him, he was a Brahmin, he knew the scriptures, talked on, felt very blissful by talking the Shastra about renunciation. Then the wife said, thank you, you have helped me. Now I can let go of our two sons. He was very intelligent. He cried. He embraced his wife. They cried a few days. But he didn't die from heart failure. You, of course, understand the jewels were the sons she referred to. These are the gifts of God. We are given something and he takes it away. So to accept that kripa, that is good. Wonderful explanation. Wonderful story. The explanation is not good. But this is how I accept the mercy of the Lord for the way he gives. This bhakti. Some faith is required. Some Oh Krishna, Kripa Guru, Kripa Guru.